to the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. And do we have a great show planned for you today. At half past the hour, we will have information on neurodegenerative diseases brought to us from the Weinberg Center at Thomas Jefferson University. Dr. Para Passanelli and David Trotti will be talking to us about their new approaches with ALS. That's known as Lou Gehrig disease, but it really reflects a lot of new approaches on neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's and such as what happens after stroke. We also have a great set of articles by Gary Ginsberg if you stay with us in the second hour. But in the first hour, we're going to try and talk to you about mitochondrial DNA. The amount this week in a study and inversely linked to frailty. So how do you keep your mitochondrial DNA plentiful? We'll talk about that. In our Well Beyond Wellness segment, we're going to talk about toxic plastics. What do you do? E-cigarettes now surpassing regular cigarettes in teen use. The good news, regular cigarette use is down. The bad news, if e-cigarettes are used to, if you will, addict people to nicotine, will regular cigarette use go up? And will our work for the last 20 years or 50 years, actually, in cigarette reduction go to naught? Number four story, syphilis spikes among sexually transmitted diseases in the U.S. Who is it spiking and what should you do about it? And should your company, will your company, avoid high tobacco and high obesity states? How much likely is their health care costs to be greater in those states than in low tobacco, low obesity states? We have some figures for you today. The cause of infertility or more, this is one of Gary Ginsberg's, but it's such an important thing that we're going to talk about in the regular segment if we get time. Plasticizers in utero, in a large study in Sweden, affect male development. That is, cause, in fact, a decrease in fertility and may cause changes in outlook in life. New data and new questions. Does the type of carb matter to your heart? This is one. Don't get confused over the headlines. We don't have good data from this study. This study just adds confusion in my mind, but we'll tell you about the study so you're armed and know how to interpret it. A report gives the USA low grades on preparedness for infectious disease. Coming from the Ebola thing, it turns out there are 50,000 less healthcare infectious disease workers in state and local and federal preparedness for infectious disease than there were in 2008, and what that means and what it has meant. And then, as we said at the bottom of the hour, why ALS isn't being successfully treated yet and what's happening now that is changing that at the Weinberg Unit for ALS Research at Thomas Jefferson University. In the second hour, for those of you who get the privilege of listening to the second hour, I get the privilege of talking in it, but it really is a great second hour. We're going to talk about what's new for stroke. Removing clots plus clot-busting drugs decreases stroke disability from 33% to 19%. That is, the people are totally able to care for themselves normal in 33% of the cases where they got this, as opposed to 19% where they got only TPA, and probably about 8% when they got neither. Gary Ginsberg, we're going to talk about swimming pools as a sink for personal care chemicals, as well as what's the effect of burning incense on your heart and lungs. We'll talk also about this really interesting article about exposure to antidepressants in the third trimester, kind of like exposure to other drugs in the third trimester that we'll talk about today, change adult behavior. Really remarkable. And we're also going to talk about how you feel about your age. Do you feel younger or older than your calendar age? This is really, really very fascinating stuff, because the older or younger you feel, kind of like whether you feel in better health or less good health than your peers, actually is a very strong predictor of when you will die, when you will develop disabilities. And we'll end up by talking about mitochondrial DNA predicting frailty. So let's get started on that. You've got two sets of DNA in your body, mitochondrial DNA and your regular DNA. The mitochondrial DNA is in these little organelles, which are inside your cell, that look like bacteria. They aren't bacteria. They're given to you by your mom. They're the DNA your mom had that is separate from the combined your mom and dad combined with to make you. This is making part of your cells, the mitochondria, and it turns out the more DNA you have in your mitochondria, the more energy you have. Your mitochondrial DNA turns out to be energy factories. And in this study, they correlated the amount you had with how closely you became frail or unable to care for yourself. And it turns out that a 9% reduction in DNA was associated with a quadrupling of frailty. And in the lowest quadrant of DNA in these individuals that were studied, they had, in fact, not only a decrease or an increase in frailty and a decrease in life expectancy, but they got frailty four times more commonly. So this is a study by Johns Hopkins University scientists. They report that mitochondrial DNA in otherwise healthy patients was a predictor of near-term medical frailty. Subjects in the study who had just 9% less mitochondrial DNA on average in blood samples became frail. And those in the bottom fifth overall were 47%. That's almost, 50, if you will, that's 50% more likely to die of any cause in the next 2 years than anyone else. So this is really your mitochondrial DNA. Now, how do you get shortened or less mitochondrial DNA? It's by eating big meals. That's right. Your mitochondria produce, take your glucose and turn it in to ATP or energy. But if you have a big meal, they have many more errors. Those errors swamp the ability of the cells to buffer them with their own in-cell antioxidants. This is getting too complicated scientifically, maybe, but they don't have enough buffering capacity, so those free radicals knock off part of the DNA, knock off part of those cells, and you have less mitochondrial DNA. So in a blood sample, you want to have a lot of DNA from your mitochondria. That's from your mom. The way you do it, if you're going to eat meals, eat small meals rather than big meals. And that's a key secret. The next story we wanted to talk about is toxic plastics. What should you do about them? Before I get into that, let's talk about this other story on global well-being. This is very interesting because they looked at what is the average life expectancy in the world. And it turns out it's increasing dramatically. So what do I mean by dramatically? Well, if you look at it, life expectancy increased globally as death toll falls. In just 20 years, the average age of person who died, that is in 1990, the average age of people who died was 46.7. In 2013, 23 years later, the average age was 13 years more, 59.3. So in fact, for every year longer before you die, half a year is of well-being, meaning your life expectancy and your well-being enlarges. So this is really remarkable, the decrease in death rate as we've gone over the last 23 years. We'll talk more about that when we come back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is Dr. Mike Royce, and you're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. Stay well. We'll be right back with more incredibly exciting medical news.
Itching, pain, and soreness during sex? General feelings of vaginal discomfort and dryness? You are not alone. Vaginal dryness is a very common condition that can profoundly affect your everyday life and your sex life. The dryness you are experiencing doesn't reflect your desire to have sex. There are tons of moisturizers and lubricants on the market today, but who wants to put harsh chemicals down there? Prevalief Oasis is an intimate moisturizer with natural ingredients. You don't need to fret over the hazardous chemicals in Prevalief Oasis Vagina Moisturizer. It's paraben-free, hormone-free, fragrance-free, and rapidly absorbing. It provides immediate comfort and relief. You can find out more information on the Prevalief Oasis product and all the great Prevalief products at Prevalief.com, PrevaLeaf.com, to stop your itching fast and find relief right now. Prevalief.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt-based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Ever notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice? From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents,
you should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends,
you have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. Stay well. But what we have this half hour, this 15-minute period, is a sensational group of stories, but some of them will be optimistic for you, some not so much. But we're going to talk about them, but because we've got a great set of people coming at the bottom of the hour. Piera Passanelli and David Trotti. They're professor of neuroscience and associate professor of neuroscience. They're co-director of the Weinberg Unit for ALS Research at Thomas Jefferson University. And this is Piera is the scientific director of the Robert Packard Center for ALS Research at Johns Hopkins University as well. Both are real experts on ALS, but ALS is a very interesting, that's called Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a progressive disease, and we're going to find out more about it and its biology. But what's really impressive is we haven't succeeded against it. We've succeeded against a lot of chronic diseases, but we have not succeeded at all with this one. So we have to find out more information about this one, and we will find out more information why we haven't succeeded and what their real approach is at the Weinberg Center at Thomas Jefferson University, because that Weinberg Center is an incredibly impressive place for doing this type of work, and it's impressive for what we have learned because of it. It's at the Weinberg Center at Thomas Jefferson University. Some of the optimism and pessimism, I don't know what's happening to my mic, I apologize. Some of the optimism and pessimism for this recent study that I will show is because some of it is really good data. If you look at people who are teenagers, they're decreasing their smoking rates compared to 20 years ago dramatically, and decreasing even from 4 years ago. But if you look at e-cigarettes, it's getting horrendously worse, tripled in just 3 years. Nearly 9% of eighth graders say they've used e-cigarettes in the previous month. Just 4% reported smoking a traditional cigarette. Well, that's great news. That 4% is down from 12%, but the 9% for the e-cigarettes is up from 1.5%. So it's about the same total as used to use cigarettes. It's a little down from, in fact, the group that used to use cigarettes. But the question is, will all these e-cigarette users be converted to traditional tobacco, and then we lose a lot of the progress we've made? Marijuana use is leveled off. 7% of 10th graders, 21% of 12th graders say they used it. 6% say they use daily use. That's horrendously high. 6% daily use. Why is it so bad? Because girls' brains until age 21 and boys' brains until age 24 are adversely affected. You lose IQ points, you lose executive function until age 24 in guys from daily use, and until age 21 in girls for daily use, if they use it daily. So occasional use may be not so bad for the brain, but daily use, horrendous for the brain. Abuse of prescription painkillers in high school is dropping. That's great news. 6% of high school seniors reported using narcotics without medical supervision in the past year. That's down from 9.5%, a 50% reduction since 2004. Nearly 1 in 5 12th graders report binge drinking, defined as 5 or more drinks in a row in the previous 2 weeks. That's down in 1 in 4 from 2009. So, if you will, those are real efforts at progress that have been made at keeping what we would call the drugs that we worry about having long-term brain effects being used too early. And I really do worry that the tremendous progress that we've made in the last 50 years on cigarettes, especially in the last 20 years in high school students and cigarettes, will be reversed by the introduction of e-cigarettes. E-cigarettes first appeared in the United States in 2006, but this was the first year that the Monitoring the Future survey asked teens about them, other than some small surveys, and the increase that we've seen may be a sampling error, but at least it looks like it's greatly increased compared to what it was just 3 years ago. So that's the real worry with e-cigarettes. You can tell me what you think about it by calling us 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211, or you can email us at youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Now, what's the data, by the way? Oh, I should also talk about the spike in syphilis rates, because this is a concern among men who have sex with men. Turns out almost all of the increase in syphilis, in fact, almost all of the syphilis in the United States is by men who have sex with men or men who have sex with men and women, that is bisexual. And whereas all other sexually transmitted diseases in the U.S. look like they're decreasing, even HIV, but the problem is that half of the men with syphilis are also infected with HIV. So it appears that men having sex with men are not doing it very carefully, if you will. So we need to worry about that, as the CDC is now, our Center for Disease Control, is now recommending people get males who have sex with males get tested much more frequently. Let me go in one more study. Will your company be avoiding high tobacco and high obesity states? Most companies pay a majority of the health costs themselves. And whether they use an exchange or whether they use their own insurance, the high obesity and high tobacco states, that is, the difference isn't a small difference in medical costs, because those two things, tobacco and obesity, look like they are now causing, and this is unbelievably interesting to me, but also hard to believe, but they're causing 40% of all medical costs, obesity and tobacco between them. And the difference from a state with 25% smoking rate and 33% obesity rate, and a state with a 12% smoking rate and a 16 or 18% obesity rate, is now going to be about 4% of total costs for a company. 4% of total costs. That's a huge difference. Just think of the margin. If you have a company that's selling $100 million or has a cost of $100 million, that's a $4 million cost that can be way more than their total profit will be absorbed or used or increased by obesity and tobacco-related differences between, for example, the state of Colorado and the state of, for example, Alabama. So this is a really increased thing that we'll have to think about. Companies may start to get wise to this, especially if the ACA is overturned, the Obamacare is overturned by the Supreme Court, or is changed radically. We'll be right back with great guests talking about ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. What is it? Why is it so important to study this? The Weinberg study at Thomas Jefferson University is doing it. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay well.
Are you one of the millions of Americans whose thyroid gland isn't functioning the way it's supposed to? Well, now there's hope. Introducing Actolin. Actolin is a dietary supplement that contains 17 ingredients that support thyroid function, your adrenal health, your energy metabolism, and your immune health. Actolin's nutrients were handpicked by the renowned holistic practitioner, Dr. David Brownstein. And now, for a limited time, you can get a risk-free trial of Actolin when you enroll in our convenient SmartShip program and cover the first low shipping and handling handling fee of $4.95. That's right. Try Actolin as part of our risk-free trial and just pay $4.95 shipping. Learn more and sign up today at ActolinRadio.com. That's ActolinRadio.com or call 800-500-HEALTH. That's 800-500-4325. And mention promo code Actolin Radio. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meeting, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks, or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RadioMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.
It's illegal and dangerous for teens to drink any alcohol and then drive. Still, 1 in 10 high school teens drank and got behind the wheel of a car in 2011. If you're a parent, be aware that when teens drink, it's usually to get drunk. Teenagers can't legally buy alcohol, but many get it from their homes or the homes of their friends. Drinking and driving is never okay. Make sure your teenager has a safe way to get home in case they're out with a teen driver who's been drinking. Put this in a parent-teen driving agreement, which should also include wearing a seatbelt and following their state's graduated driver licensing laws every time they're behind the wheel. Find a sample at www.cdc.gov/parentsarethekey. Parents really are the key to safe teen driving. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike, and you're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. You can always communicate with us at 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211, or email at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com. The topic today is an interesting one because it's not as common a disease as we usually talk about, but it is a model, or maybe a model, of what we call neurodegenerative diseases, diseases that affect the nervous system that seem to be progressive and that we don't seem to have made much progress with over time. So MS used to be one of those, and clearly Alzheimer's disease and many forms of dementia now are. But this one, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, affects people in the younger periods of life, much like MS does, but doesn't seem to have had much progress with it. On the line with me today are Piera Passanelli, who's an associate professor of neuroscience and co-director of the Weinberg Unit for ALS Research at Thomas Jefferson University, and scientific director of the Robert Packard Center for ALS Research at Johns Hopkins University. Hard to get better credentials than that. And Michael Jablonski is the lead author also of the Weinberg Center at Thomas Jefferson University, and of the lead author of the recent study that showed there may be a different mechanism. So, Michael, let me start with you if I can, and Pierre, feel free to jump in at any time. Tell us a little bit about the background of ALS, how many people it affects, how it works, why is it so progressive, and why have we had such a tough time trying to make any progress?
Sure. So, you know, ALS, is obviously, as you mentioned, is a neurodegenerative disease, primarily affecting motor neurons. So, you know, these motor neurons are degenerating and dying in the central nervous system, and that's causing basically the impact of the disease.
So because the motor neurons are the neurons which innervate the muscles and control the movements, as a result of degeneration of these motor neurons, what the patients lose their ability progressively to walk, to talk, to write, to basically do any of the movements that we do regularly, and eventually they die by respiratory failure. 3 to 5 years from diagnosis.
Yeah, the question is, why do the motor neurons die? And has there been any progress since even Lou Gehrig developed this at preventing those motor neurons from dying or stabilizing the disease, or at least getting it to the point where it doesn't progress further?
The research on ALS has obviously been happening for quite some time. The development of different preclinical models, animal models, and the like. But really, there has not been any significant progress into the reason that these motor neurons are dying. The reason is unknown at this point.
And so what has been the approach at the Weinberg Center to try and change this? In other words, is this a model, or can this be a model of other neurodegenerative diseases, or is this something so different that it is really unique to itself? Piera, why don't you take that?
Yeah, so this is a very interesting question. So the mouse model that we used in the study that we are talking about today is really a unique mouse model of ALS, which recapitulates one specific familial form of ALS caused by mutation in a gene which is called superoxide dismutase, which accounts for 20 to 30% of familial ALS cases, meaning 2 to 3% of all ALS. It is a robust model, and it is the model that we had to recapitulate ALS since 1994 when this model was made. And it is a robust because when I say it is a robust model, it's because it really recapitulates at the molecular level, at the pathological level, and at the clinical level, to the extent possible, obviously, because we are talking about mice, the human disease. This is specific for ALS. It is not a model or any other neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, as you mentioned earlier, or Huntington's disease or Parkinson's disease. But so this is really specific for ALS. Having said that, because even though these neurodegenerative diseases all affect a specific neuronal population, ALS, as we were saying earlier, affect primarily motor neurons, there are many similarities in these diseases at the molecular level. So while this particular model that we studied in the Weinberg unit is an ALS model, I think that the lessons that we can learn in terms of how the neurodegenerative process occurs can also be applied to some of other models or some other diseases. Because so even Michael, though, again, they are unique.
I'm sorry. So, Michael, we're talking to you because there's this recent important study that you are the lead author of that talks about a very different mechanism of ALS or of neurodegenerative diseases than we've thought of before. Tell us a little bit about that and why this is such a breakthrough.
Sure. So the idea of this study is really, you know, rethinking the typical model of treating ALS. So rather than targeting these pathways, which we don't fully understand, the idea behind this study was to look at really a different class of transporters. They're called drug efflux transporters that are highly expressed at the blood-brain barrier. And what we found prior to this paper was that in the ALS disease, both in the mouse and in the humans, there's a change in these drug efflux transporters. So they increase in expression there, and their function increases as well. And the whole purpose of these transporters is really to pump out any potential toxins, limit the bioavailability, thereby, of the potential drugs used to treat ALS. So with this change during the course of the disease, the increase in these transporters, the bioavailability of any drug used to treat ALS may be decreased as well throughout disease, and leading to decreased efficacy in the end.
Now, let me go, and so this is an unusual thing. So what you're finding is that something that cells normally have to pump out a toxin, toxic metals, is now being used to pump out a what you hope would be a very useful drug. So
right.
Is there a way of still having the getting rid of the toxic metals, but having something that blocks or that changes the drug so it isn't pumped out?
Right. So there would definitely be a balance there. And because these transporters are pumping out so many of these foreign substances, these drugs are also considered foreign substances. And while it's good to have some expression of these transporters, an overwhelming amount can limit the bioavailability into the central nervous system of those ALS-treating agents or the drugs that are really foreign to the cell but would perhaps be beneficial.
We'll be right back on. Let me, Piera, we'll come back and we'll start right there. We've been talking with people from the Weinberg Center at Thomas Jefferson University about ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and this breakthrough paper that talked about the mechanisms. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show on Radio MD, and talk about why this is important to you, even if you don't have anything like Lou Gehrig's disease. We'll be right back.
Itching, pain, and soreness during sex? General feelings of vaginal discomfort and dryness? You are not alone. Vaginal dryness is a very common condition that can profoundly affect your everyday life and your sex life. The dryness you are experiencing doesn't reflect your desire to have sex. There are tons of moisturizers and lubricants on the market today, but who wants to put harsh chemicals down there? Prevalife Oasis is an intimate moisturizer with natural ingredients. You don't need to fret over the hazardous chemicals in Prevalife Oasis Vagina Moisturizer. It's paraben-free, hormone-free, fragrance-free, and rapidly absorbing. It provides immediate comfort and relief. You can find out more information on the Prevalife Oasis product and all the great Prevalife products at Prevalife.com, Prevalef.com, to stop your itching fast and find relief right now. Prevalife.
I'm so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry.
I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this power and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're talking, we're talking with two real experts on about Lou Gehrig disease. They're from the Weinberg Center from Thomas Jefferson University. Mike Jablonski is the lead author of a paper that has a real breakthrough in it, and co-author and with him from the Weinberg Center is Piera Passanelli. She's also director, in addition to co-director of the Weinberg Unit for ALS Research at Thomas Jefferson University, and co-director of the graduate program in neuroscience there, is also scientific director of the Robert Packard Center for ALS Research at Johns Hopkins. So she commutes back and forth, I suppose, from Philadelphia to Baltimore, not a long commute on the train. But tell me, when we were starting, Piera, we were ending the last segment, you were talking about why this has relevance, why this new mechanism, which is found to transport the drug or to increase transport of the drug out of the neurons it's supposed to help, just like it transports heavy metals out or toxins out, why this is important for other diseases as well, or other neurodegenerative diseases.
Yes, so because this is a mechanism that is not specific for ALS, and in fact, it is a mechanism that has been very widely studied in other diseases. Cancer is, I think, the lead example. Leukemia, some forms of epilepsy, for instance, which there is a subset of epilepsy patients who do not respond to drug, and it turns out that they not respond to drug because they have, again, like we found in ALS, an increase in function and expression at the level of the blood-brain barrier of these transporters. So this is really something that we in the ALS field learn from other diseases and apply to the ALS field, where this phenomenon was surprisingly underestimated and understudied. So why this is applicable to other diseases? Because, again, so we have in our body this defense mechanism, as Michael was saying earlier. So we have these drug efflux transporters at the level of the blood-brain barrier, which really defends the brain from foreign toxins and metals, as you said. They are, as I say, not so smart, and they are not specific in their recognition of what is beneficial, like a drug, or what is detrimental, like a toxin. And so this is really not universal only to ALS. What I think is important to say is that while this is a phenomenon that is really well characterized and recognized mainly by pharmaceutical companies, that when they want to develop a drug, they have to be able to know whether a drug reaches the target and crosses the blood-brain barrier and does what it is supposed to do. So they know, the pharmaceutical company, and we in study biology and study diseases know that one of the impediments to really reach the target is the pharmaceutical target is are these transporters. So normally new drugs that are developed are tested whether they are a substrate of these transporters. Our paper shows that rather than testing them, as it has been done so far, in normal individuals, not disease individuals, I think we should test the drugs, our paper shows that we should test the drugs in the context of the disease and during the disease progression. Because Michael found is that, for instance, for the ALS mouse, which is what we have been studied, if we were to deliver drugs before the mice get sick, before disease onset, the drug will go in. And the drug will do what it is supposed to do because these drug efflux transporters didn't kick in yet.
So the transporter out, Piera, really doesn't kick into maximum function or even any function until the disease is evident.
Until the disease is in full swing, I will say. And so if we were to give a drug like Riluzole, for instance, like we did for ALS, Riluzole is the only FDA-approved drug for ALS. Riluzole is constantly working, is the only drug that works in the patient, but its effect is very marginal. And so if we were to give Riluzole before the mice get sick, what we found is that Riluzole goes in because the transporter didn't start working completely yet and they didn't pump it out.
Let's talk about human disease now. So right. in humans, the ALS symptoms usually become pretty severe fairly quickly.
Right.
Will that give us enough time to treat this or to try treatment with this? Will there be enough, in fact, even people with this, with early symptoms, to make this treatment potential? Or do we just learn from this about other ways of blocking the transport out?
So we don't know. But what we know, for instance, again, taking Riluzole as an example, you're absolutely right. ALS progresses very, very rapidly. But what we know with Riluzole is that in the first year of treatment, usually patients get Riluzole the moment they come to the clinic and they receive a definite diagnosis of ALS. So what we know is that Riluzole is highly effective in patients in the first 12 months of treatment, reducing mortality in public studies by about 38%. What we know also is that initial efficacy is reduced dramatically starting from the second year of treatment, from 38 to 19, about 19%. Now, we don't know if this dramatic decrease is due in patients to an increase in function of these efflux transporters, and this is something that we are now studying, but we think that our mouse studies lead towards this idea. So if we were to be able to block these drug efflux transporters from the get-go, from the time the patients receive the first treatment, whether it's riluzole or something else, in the first year, maybe we will be able to delay this pumping out, which dramatically increased in the second year of treatment.
Excellent. And I want to thank you very much for participating with us. We've been talking to Piera Passanelli and Michael Jablonski about ALS and about this new mechanism, this really breakthrough treatment that they've found from the Weinberg Center at Thomas Jefferson University, and why this is important for other diseases. This is a mechanism that maybe earlier treatment will be able to help reverse. It's just promise, but it is great promise.
Green light. Hey girl, school zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It sounds disgusting, but the average person has 160 varieties, 100 trillion bacteria in their GI tract. Some bacteria are beneficial, many are not. Undesirable bacteria can leave you feeling tired and sluggish and bloated. A simple solution, Natron's Healthy Trinity. You've heard of Healthy Trinity. It's the premier probiotic that's been helping millions of people with digestive problems for over 20 years. This powerful probiotic can help optimize digestion, promote healthy immune, colon, and liver function. And with a healthy digestive system, you'll gain focus and energy, and you'll feel so much better. Here's a special offer, 20% off a 3-month supply of Healthy Trinity. This is a limited time offer with a money back guarantee. Get 20% off right now. Call 866-4-NATRON or go to natron.com. Enter promo code RadioMD for the discount. Don't miss a single day without taking your Healthy Trinity. Natron.com.